Well, it's great to be back with all of you. Scott and I had a wonderful time last week walking among the cherry blossoms in Washington, D.C. and visiting friends. The friends that we were visiting are new to the D.C. area, and so we were relying on GPS a lot of the time. And we took a lot, I mean a lot, of wrong turns. We took so many wrong turns, and every time that we did, the GPS, which in my friend Brendan's car has this wonderful lilting Irish accent, the GPS said, "Recalculating route." Recalculating route. Missed your turn? Recalculating route. Turned too soon? Recalculating route. Road closed, recalculating route. Missed your turn again? You get the picture. What you haven't probably thought of is the theology of GPS. The theology of recalculating route. Because the thing is, with a GPS, any time that you have made a wrong turn, there's still a way to get where you're going. It just takes a little time to recalculate the route. When I read our gospel for today, and most of the gospel, the Bible for that matter, I often hear the voice of God saying, "Recalculating route." Think about Peter's story. Most of the 3 years that he spent with Jesus were filled with wrong turns. Not quite getting it, constantly having to recalculate his route, readjusting how it is that he was going to get where he was going. And then we get to the story that we read today. In Galilee. They're back in Galilee. Just to calibrate this for you. Remember, this is after the resurrection. This is after he has been crucified, died, was buried for 3 days. And now the disciples are trying to figure out what in the world they are to do. And they're back in Galilee, right back where it started, right back as if nothing has changed. Peter had been so sure of Jesus, so sure of himself. He knew that Jesus was the real deal. He'd seen it. He'd felt it. Heck, after a few years with Jesus, even he, impulsive Peter, was different. He thought more about others now. The Beatitudes still confused him some, but the idea that God works through the creativity and healing and not violence and destruction. Peter got that now. He had been beating himself up for the last week, ever since that cock had crowed and he realized what he'd done. He had failed Jesus. He had thought he was better than that. But when the chips were down, he'd abandoned Jesus. And for what? He didn't even know why he'd done it. And a dream, his dream of life being different, had died with Jesus. And now the whole future was in question. "I'm going fishing," was his answer. Peter thought that he was at a dead end. To add insult to injury, that night he and his friends caught nothing. They were really at a dead end. They couldn't even do what they used to be able to do. And then a stranger arrives on the seashore and tells them to recalculate their route. Cast off to the other side instead. They do, and are amazed at the number of fish that they catch. It is then that they recognize Jesus as the stranger on the shore. Once he's helped them to recalculate their route, once he has had them try something new, and they find it to be life-giving. Once he has shown them that they're not at a dead end, but rather they're simply going to have to go about things differently than they had planned. Jesus, on that seashore, helped his friends recalculate their route. And Peter is the most exuberant of them all, in part because that's his nature, and in part because he had the most to gain, because he had lost the most. It's partly because his grief is compounded by his denial of Jesus. Not only was he mourning the death of his beloved teacher Jesus and trying to figure out what to do with the rest of his life, he was also beating himself up for his own behavior. Whether you've been in that boat of beating yourself up or not, we've all had the experience of trying to figure out what to do when a dream dies. Whether the dream is a relationship or a career or a social movement or our expectations for our children, at some point, every life comes face to face with the death of a dream. And today's gospel tells us that the Christian response to death, the death of a dream, is GPS. Recalculating route. In today's story, the risen Jesus then shares breakfast with his disciples on the seashore. Now, every time that we read about Jesus and mealtime, that should give us a taste of communion. Here, because of the nature of this story, one of the notes that's brought forward in this meal is the element of forgiveness that is present in communion. You see, in today's story, Jesus doesn't just tell the disciples to try something new, thus showing them that their road is not a dead end. He doesn't just add fish to the communion menu and break bread with Peter, symbolizing that we're all good. When the rest of the disciples are laying on the beach, drowsy after their food comas, Jesus takes Peter aside. Now, we all know how Peter denied that he knew Jesus. We all know that he did this 3 times and then wept bitterly when he realized what he had done. Now, in one of the most important acts in all of Scripture, in fact, this is my very favorite story of all time, what Jesus does is he asks Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" 3 times. The symbolism is obvious. Peter's 3 denials are followed by Jesus' 3 invitations of love. "Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me?" This story is one of the biggest reasons that I'm Christian. After Peter's denials around the charcoal fire in Jerusalem, this invitation back into right relationship next to another charcoal fire is absolutely life-saving. The way that Christ goes about forgiving, indeed redeeming Peter, is absolutely breathtaking. He doesn't judge. He doesn't make Peter grovel. He doesn't ask for a full accounting of Peter's motivation. He doesn't ask for proof that Peter won't deny him again. What he does do is he trusts Peter. He entrusts him. He commissions him. So often, especially in grief, the hardest people to forgive are ourselves. If Peter's anything like me, he'd been running the past few days over and over and over in his mind, beating himself up for his part in the ugliness of the last week. A mammoth step in moving on after the death of a dream is forgiveness. Forgiveness of ourselves and of others. To all that is unsettled in our hearts, all that God asks is, do you love me? No, really. Do you love me? All I'm asking of you is, do you love me? Then we're okay. After the first time that Christ asks of Peter, I suspect that Peter still held on to some of his grief. I can imagine that his inner thoughts were somewhere along the lines of, yeah, I love you, but I really messed up. I am not worthy of the trust that you have in me. Reverend Teresa Fry Brown envisions it this way. She says that Jesus said, think about it, Peter. It's time to become a different person. Don't return to that moment when you ran away from your responsibility, your faith, your hope. Forgive yourself. I would insert here, recalculate route. Fry continues, there's still time, Peter. There's still time for you to bring back the lost love, to seek out the unloved, to take care of the lovesick, to support the new love, to teach the loveless. Our Lord asks us the same questions today. Will you care for others as I have cared for you? Will you open your ears to the cries of those in need? Will you look at yourself before you criticize the actions of others? Will you pray without ceasing, not just when danger seems to threaten your life? Will you live out our new dream, the dream that we are building together, regardless of the level of support from the outside world? Are you willing to forgive like I've forgiven you? Simon, son of John. I love that he says Simon, son of John. It's like, kind of like your mom using your full name. Bridget Mary Flad, you get over here. Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this is the most important aspect of this passage, Christ's loving commissioning of Peter. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs, feed my sheep. God says to Peter and to all of us, by virtue of our mutual love, I am appointing you to ministry. I am sending you out because it is through you loving that this world will be redeemed. It is through you loving others that I will save the world. The previous dream was dead. But what Christ does in commissioning Peter is he empowers Peter to dream again. Jesus was gone, and with him, Peter's carefully calculated route. But Peter had not died. And this passage shows us that the most gracious response to being alive is to continue to dream. May we all have that courage to continue recalculating our routes. Thanks be to God. Alleluia and amen.